We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Search Bellarmine Hybrid MLS and enroll today.
Wood, we love it. Unfortunately, so do termites. When's the last time you had your home checked? For all you know, the only thing keeping your house together is a bunch of termites holding hands. Call Allied Termite and Pest today, 901-754-0454.
It's time, Memphis. Join Ja Morant, Tyus Jones, and your Memphis Grizzlies Wednesday, March 31st at 7 p.m. as they take on the Utah Jazz. Presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Tickets start at just $12, but they won't last long. Check out grizzlies.com/tickets today. Fans will want to tune in early at 6:30 p.m. to catch Grizzlies Live. Presented by Ford and your Mid-South Ford dealers. Featuring Pete Pranica, Brevin Knight, Rob Fisher, and Chris Vernon.
How can your mortgage work for you instead of you simply working for your mortgage? Here to bring you the answers you need is Don Holsinger, Chief Mortgage Officer with Orion Federal Credit Union, with this week's Mortgage Minute.
So, you have found your dream home, or maybe you're ready to buy your first home. What's next? Well, the next step is to shop for low rates and low fees. Orion is here for you with affordable mortgage options, personal service, and in-house underwriting. We've spent more than 60 years sharing our profits with our members and community because we believe a better Memphis means a better Orion. Contact our experienced lending team today and let us help you finance your biggest dreams, and we can even pay up to $2,000 of your closing costs. To learn more, visit OrionHomeLoan.com or give us a call at 1-800-532-9025.
This Mortgage Minute has been provided to you by Orion Federal Credit Union. Terms and conditions apply. Contact Orion for details. Conventional mortgages only. Minimum loan amount $95,000. Available in select states. Orion is an equal housing
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
Gary Parish speaking to you from the corner of 47th Broadway, New York City. Ben Adoles producing the program back in Memphis. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Our daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
I hope you enjoyed last night's Elite Eight games. We had two on television. We'll have two more tonight. Both games last night got a little lopsided early, but they were competitive in the second half, and congratulations to Houston. Congratulations to Baylor. Cougars in the Final Four for the first time since 1984. Baylor in the Final Four for the first time since 1950. We'll talk about both games momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:20, I'm going to be joined by Baylor head coach Scott Drew. He coached his team last night to a victory over Oregon State, now in year 18 in Waco, after two previous appearances in the Elite Eight stopped him short of the Final Four. He broke through last night with a number one seed in the South region. They beat Arkansas, and now Scott Drew is in the Final Four, again leading Baylor there for the first time since 1950. He's going to join me in the next segment. We'll talk about how his career started there, how he got it to this point. Scott Drew from Baylor is going to be here right around 4:20. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories, among them the Grizzlies. Beat the Rockets last night, 121-10 down in Houston. Jonas Valanciunas, 30 points, 15 rebounds. It was enough to get the Grizzlies back to 500, 22-22. We'll talk Grizz around 4:44. The UConn-Baylor women's Elite Eight game was awesome last night. Paige Beckers, UConn's freshman star, got 28 points in the win, but the win was controversial because of an awful no-call in the final seconds. We'll spend a few minutes on that a little later on this hour. After the UConn-Baylor game, even more controversy. Baylor coach Kim Mulkey said she thinks the NCAA should not administer COVID tests at the Final Four. Needless to say, that's not going to happen. If you need me to explain exactly why, I will just before 5 o'clock. And the New York Mets have offered Francisco Lindor a $325 million contract. He has turned it down. So that was a little bit of a Monday night bummer. I'll give you the details on how a man brings himself to turn down a $325 million contract during four notable stories of 444 powered by GetMyPerks.com. 5 o'clock, Jeff Clark is just like always, that I will eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. I got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the NCAA tournament. Two Elite Eight games last night, two more tonight. Last night was a good night for the AAC and a bad night for the SEC. Houston beat Oregon State 67-61 in the first game. So Kelvin Sampson has the Cougars in the Final Four for the first time since 1984. Great story, wonderful team. And then in the second game, Baylor beat Arkansas 81-72. I think off the air yesterday, Big Bet Bennett, I told you I'd probably just take both of the underdogs, just take the points in both games, because I thought at least one of them would be competitive. And I believe if you would have taken the underdogs in both, you would have just split them, right?
Yes. We got the Oregon State plus 8, and Arkansas came up just a little bit short.
And the Oregon State plus 8 was a
We had to sweat that one out.
Well, it was a 10-point game with or a 9-point game with 5 seconds to go, and an Oregon State player just launches a three, and it goes in to cut it to 67-61, and then, of course, Houston just dribbles out the clock. So that was a bad beat if you were on Houston laying points, but an awesome victory if you had the underdog Oregon State Beavers in that game. And then, of course, Arkansas failed to cover by a half point or a point, depending on where you played it. They were both interesting games for various reasons. And we talked about both of them yesterday. And if you follow the picks that I post over at CBSSports.com against the spread, you know that we don't always have this stuff figured out. You know, that's the nature of sports. You can intelligently analyze anything and reach totally sensible conclusions. And then the game starts, and just like wild stuff happens. You know, this stuff doesn't always go the way it's supposed to go. In fact, it often goes the exact opposite direction it was supposed to go. But last night was pretty predictable. And if you watch both games after listening to the show yesterday, you probably noticed that exactly what I said could happen and probably would happen, it unfolded in those ways, along those lines at least. When we talked about Oregon State Houston yesterday, one of the things I said is that I often try to, you know, when I focus in on a particular matchup, find something that one team is great at that the other team is just awful at preventing, because usually you've got something there that can be exploited or that will be exploited. And the obvious thing with Houston and Oregon State was that if you're a Memphis fan and you've watched Houston play this season, you know they really attack the offensive glass in ways that almost nobody else in the country does. You know, most teams might send three people to the offensive glass. Some teams send, you know, nobody. Some teams will send three. Houston often sends four. They really value offensive rebounding. And it's a little bit for the same reasons when Bob Huggins used Press Virginia at West Virginia. You know, he implemented a full-court press pretty late in his career after he'd already had incredible levels of success playing defense in a more traditional way. And I remember talking to Huggs about it one time, and you know, I was just sort of picking his brain because I wanted to better understand it. And more specifically, I wanted to better understand why he does it. Because, you know, when you've done something a certain way your entire life and been successful at it, it's unusual to then just totally switch it up so late in your career. You know, Jim Boeheim has been playing that zone his entire career. It would be weird at this point if he started coaching man-to-man, given the levels of success he's reached doing it the way he's done it. But Huggs totally switched it up at one point at West Virginia. Now, he's backed off of it lately, but there was a period of time where he was, you know, pressing and creating turnovers and leading the country in steals and turnovers and everything else. So I wondered, like, why did you do this? And he said, well, what is the point of basketball? And I was like, this sounds like a trick question. You tell me. He said, you got to score. We have to score. And I don't have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And we're not very good in half-court sets. Like, I recognize the players I was getting were not going to be able to flourish in half-court sets. Like, I wasn't going to be able to coach them well enough to where we were going to be good enough on offense that way. So then you start trying to figure out, okay, well, then how are we going to score? And he said the best way we could score with the level of player I was getting and the level of athlete I was getting was to create turnovers that lead to easy transition scoring opportunities. In other words, we're not lining up and playing 5-on-5. We're creating a turnover, and then we're off and running. So the reason we press isn't to just take the ball from you. The reason we press is to get the ball from you and then go score, because that's what we have to do to score. And I think Kelvin's obsession with offensive rebounding is rooted in the same type of thing. You know, Houston is not just going to line up in a half-court set and bomb you from three-point range, and they're not going to get the ball off the rim and just run and destroy you in transition the way Gonzaga might. They have to have different ways to score. And what Kelvin has decided for a while now is that the easiest way for his teams to score are to offensive rebound and score from 2 feet. Like, they can't bomb you from 20, but they can get their own misses and destroy you from 2 feet. So they practice this, and it is something that they work on every day, and it is something that they prioritize. Like, if our first shot is bad, that's not the worst thing in the world, because we can go grab it, and then our next shot will be good because it's a stick back at the rim. That's how they end up offensive rebounding roughly 40% of their own missed shots. They entered yesterday's game ranked second in the country in offensive rebounding percentage. And so you don't have to have a KenPom subscription to know that. You can just watch the games and see that they're great at it. But if you have a KenPom subscription, you will see exactly how great they are. Better than everybody in the country except one team. So then you go to Oregon State stuff, and you recognize pretty quickly they're a terrible defensive rebounding team. Somewhat because they're just not good at it. Somewhat because about 40% of defensive possessions, they play zone. And when you are playing zone, defensive rebounding is more difficult because it's not as simple as just, hey, you know, put a butt on your guy, box out. Like, you don't even know where your guy is sometimes. You're in an area more than you are with a person. So you've got a situation where Houston really offensive rebounds and Oregon State cannot defensive rebound. That's a problem for Oregon State. And woo boy, was it a problem for Oregon State last night. Houston grabbed 19 offensive rebounds in a 40-minute game. Their offensive rebounding percentage was 45.2, and it allowed them to get 15 more shots than Oregon State. So it didn't matter that Houston only shot 32.3% from the field and 34.4% from three-point range and 66.7% from the free throw line. What mattered is that Houston took 62 shots and Oregon State only took 47. So you can shoot lower from the field than your opponent, lower from three than your opponent, which is exactly what Houston did last night and still win the game by 6 points. Why? Because you got 15 more shots, and that is a byproduct of prioritizing offensive rebounding. So that game played out in a way that was fairly predictable. It was clear going in that Houston was going to try to destroy Oregon State on the offensive glass, and that Oregon State doesn't have anything in its statistical makeup that suggests it's going to be able to prevent it. So you get what you get. 67-61, Houston wins. Kelvin Sampson back in the Final Four for the second time in his career. Houston, a team that barely got by Memphis twice in the final week leading up to Selection Sunday. Houston back in the Final Four for the first time since 1984. And then the second game started. And what did we talk about yesterday on the show? I told you that something our Reach Search department at CBS Sports Network had noticed and provided to us is that Eric Musselman, dating back to his days at Nevada, had won five NCAA tournament games so far in his career. Two at Nevada when he took the Wolfpack to the Sweet 16, and then three more in this tournament as he's gotten Arkansas to the Elite Eight. And the pattern was that in all five of those wins, all five, Arkansas had fallen behind by double digits. Now, because they were wins, obviously, they were able to dig out of those holes, you know, against Colgate, and then against Texas Tech, and against Oral Roberts. But one of the things we talked about yesterday is that you can go down double digits to Colgate and come back because you're better than Colgate. And you can go down double digits to Texas Tech and come back because you're better than them. Not a lot better, but better. And you can go down double digits to Oral Roberts and come back and win because you're better than them. But even though Arkansas was good enough to beat Baylor, Arkansas's not better than Baylor. Baylor is better offensively. Baylor is better defensively. Baylor's got better players. Baylor is the one seed. Baylor is the biggest threat left in this bracket to Gonzaga winning a national championship. And so one of the points we had talked about was whatever sense of urgency that overcomes Arkansas when it goes down by double digits so far in all three games in this NCAA tournament, whatever that is, it's got to be there from the jump. Because if you go down double digits to Baylor, there's a good chance you're staying down double digits. If you go down double digits to Baylor, you're probably not coming back and winning that game. You can erase deficits against Colgate and Oral Roberts, but trying to erase big deficits against a team that's obviously better than you, on paper at least, that's a really tough ask. And then the game started, and they're down 13-2. I mean, it's just like, what? Yeah. They're down 13-2, not even 4 minutes into the game. And down 18 at one point in the first half. And I will give them credit. They rallied. They came back. They made it competitive. They got it close, but they never did erase that deficit. They never got it tied again. It was 0-0, and then they went down 13-2, and they were never tied at any point the rest of the game. So I know that's disappointing for Arkansas fans, but big picture, you're in a pretty great spot right now. Not just because you went to the Elite Eight in Eric Musselman's second year, but also because there was a scenario where when Arkansas' season ends, whenever that was, Indiana job would still be open, Minnesota job would still be open, and people would be connecting Eric to both of those jobs as a legitimate candidate. To Indiana, because it is still considered one of the great jobs in the sport, and to Minnesota because he spent part of his childhood there. By the time Arkansas season was over, last night, Indiana job filled, Minnesota job filled. And though I assume there is a chance that Texas could at least pick up the phone and see if he's interested in that job, it is much more likely today than it was, say, a week ago, at least on a surface level, that Eric Musselman is going to remain the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks heading into next season. You're going to lose Moses Moody to the NBA draft, I would assume, but unless Texas wants your coach and unless he wants to do it, Mus is probably going to stay in Fayetteville and continue to roster build and develop and coach in a way that makes it where it will not be another long, long, way too long period of time before Arkansas is back into the Sweet 16. Before this year, it had been since 1996. That is almost unimaginable, but a fact. That's a long period of time for a program the caliber of Arkansas to not be going back to the Sweet 16. In year two, under Eric Musselman, the Razorbacks went to the Sweet 16. In year two, under Eric Musselman, they went to the Elite Eight. in year two under Eric Musselman, they had a shot to go to the Final Four. They just ran into a monster of a team in Baylor. But Arkansas, again, as long as Musk remains there, is going to be in very, very, very good hands. And, you know, the college basketball is better when Arkansas is nationally relevant, because at least from my childhood, that is one of the great basketball programs in the United States. So it's a rough night for Arkansas, but wow, what a great night for Baylor. Scott Drew taking over a program devastated by tragedy and scandal 18 years ago at the age of 32, in a job that seemed impossible to many, built that thing into something respectable inside of 5 years. You know, took it to an Elite Eight in year seven, another one in year nine, and now in year 18, Scott Drew is a Final Four coach. He won the game last night in his home state of Indiana, and now this weekend, on Saturday, he will coach in the Final Four in his home state of Indiana against Kelvin Sampson's Houston Cougars. The Kelvin Sampson story is a great one. So is the Scott Drew story. I'm going to be joined by Scott Drew, the Baylor coach, in the next segment. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Whether you're ready for your COVID-19 vaccine or looking for the right testing options for your family, our Kroger Health team of pharmacists and nurse practitioners are here to help. Our suite of solutions is one of the most comprehensive in the industry, trusted by frontline workers around the country. Visit Kroger.com/COVID care to learn more and schedule an appointment at a Kroger store near you.
It's grilling season, and you got the best beef brisket money can buy. Dry rubbed to perfection, slow smoked for 8 hours. And you dared to face that perfect smoky hickory wood flavor with subpar wood cooking pellets? Uh-uh. Introducing Kingsford 100% hardwood pellets. No fillers or binders. Just 100% hardwood for 100% flavor. Learn more at Kingsford.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Save big during Power Torque Tools DIY Day Sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts with great deals on socket sets, impact wrenches, and more. Right now, get $10 off a 200-piece mechanics tool set, plus earn double O rewards points. That means you'll get to your next reward even faster. Visit the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts today or shop O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Bugs bugging you? Call Allied Termite and Pest for a free inspection today, 754-0454. Stop a pest problem in its tracks and ask about the Allied Guarantee. Prompt, reliable. Allied Termite and Pest. Call them today, 754-0454.
Hey, it's Jason Smith, and starting stronger starts at AutoZone, where they've got battery solutions in the form of free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Do you know where you can find all your favorite Skechers shoes plus amazing styles you probably never even knew existed? Skechers.com. Because at Skechers.com, we have miles and miles of styles of the most comfortable shoes on the planet. We have boys and girls shoes that sparkle and light up. We have retro chic looks like Skechers Delight, so you can rock your best street style. Skechers.com has work shoes, slip-ons, sports shoes, casual shoes, canvas shoes, even Bobs by Skechers that help save the lives of pets. We have performance shoes like Go Walk, Go Run, Go Golf, and You by Skechers. No matter how you like to be active, Skechers.com has you covered. The styles are endless. And on Skechers.com, you can find all the fits you need. Relaxed fit, wide fit, stretch fit, seamless fit, flex fit, and many more. We're the fit specialists. Plus, you can find so many shoes with Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam. Skechers is world-famous for comfort, and once you try some on, you'll understand why. So find all the styles, all the fits, and all the comfort for your whole family. Only at Skechers.com.
Does it feel like finding clothes and your fit is impossible? Tired of feeling overwhelmed with options that just aren't right? Let the experts at Stitch Fix do the shopping for you. At Stitch Fix, we make sure each piece is hand-selected for your life. So whether you're staying home or on the go, Stitch Fix has the answer for what to wear. We make it easy to find what works for you. Signing up takes just a few minutes, and styles are delivered directly to your door. Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, your style delivered.
Hey, it's Eli Herskovich with a BetQL Tournament Timeout, brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Tonight in the college basketball tournament, Michigan takes on UCLA in one of the regional final matchups. Michigan is around a 7.5-point favorite, and UCLA is plus 280 on the money line. The total is around 136. Michigan picked apart Florida State in the regional semifinal, and UCLA was able to knock off Alabama in overtime. Michigan has a size advantage, and it should overwhelm a UCLA team that doesn't have the length to match up down low. UCLA also has a below-average three-point defense, so look out if Michigan can get hot from beyond the arc. Michigan shot under 30% from three in its last game, which means a bounce-back performance could be in store. At the other end, unless UCLA can play at a snail pace and get the ball to the rim, it's going to have a tough time scoring. I lean towards Michigan, but you might be able to get more value if you wait to live bet it. This BetQL Tournament Timeout is brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Download the app today. Must be 21 years of age or older. Must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. For gambling problem support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like.
The Grizzlies won in Houston last night, back to 500, 22-22. We're going to get into that in the next segment, but right now, I'm going to talk to a man who, at the age of 32, took over a Power Conference men's basketball program at Baylor, devastated by tragedy and scandal, and began trying to build it into something respectable while dealing with NCAA penalties tied to the previous staff. On some level, it must have seemed like an impossible task, but he made the NCAA tournament in year five, made the Elite Eight in year seven and year nine, went through a stretch where he made four straight NCAA tournaments from 2014 to 2017, had a team ranked number one, had a team in position to be a number one seed last season if the NCAA tournament weren't canceled. He won the Big 12 title this season, and last night in Indianapolis, he coached Baylor to an 81-72 victory over Arkansas to lead the Bears to the Final Four for the first time since 1950. It's an amazing story orchestrated by an incredible coach. My next guest is Baylor Scott Drew. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Scott Drew, it's Gary Parish. How you feeling today?
Well, you know what? You got to get to a Final Four so you can get on the big interview. So I am blessed today to be with you, my man.
We are the ones that are blessed. I know how busy you are. I know how tired you are. I appreciate your time. I won't keep you too long, but please take me back to last night. You are in the state where you were raised, and you are cutting nets after achieving what is a goal of every person who gets into the college coaching profession. You are now a Final Four coach. What did that feel like last night?
Man, did it feel good. And why it felt so good was because, first of all, we've been close in 2010 and 2012. And then 9 years later, you have another chance, and you knock, and it makes it that much more exciting when you go through the door. And the feeling that I get most pleasure and joy, though, is from seeing all the Baylor faithful that have been with us through the lean years, the rebuilding years, to see them excited and celebrating, you know, the success and being able to be a part of it. Our past players for 18 years that have all sacrificed, put in hard work to get our program to this level, and everybody just involved with Baylor University. And it's kind of like a parent. You sit back in Christmas and the kids are opening gifts and they're excited, so you're excited. And that was my emotion last night.
I know you want to win two more games and cut some more nets and win a national championship, and you've got a team that is quite clearly good enough to do it. But is there any sense of relief that you broke through this door? Nobody will ever have to put you on a list of best coaches not to make the Final Four. You've got that now in your back pocket. Is there any relief to that?
Well, I tell you what, I feel extremely blessed that we were able to get to a Final Four so that the fans and the Baylor Nation and the players can hang their hat on that. But at the same time, I know this from NBA players that don't win a championship, coaches that don't win. We're so blessed to be a part of these guys' lives and have an impact on them. And to be honest, that means more to me. Now, if you can get both, and we're all greedy, we all want both, and that's what we were blessed with last night, a chance to achieve that. And as you know, it is so rare how many people get a chance to be in a Final Four. And I've been blessed. This is my third opportunity. And you know what? If we would have gone the first or second time, maybe it wouldn't have meant so much. But not seeing the other team celebrate and us celebrate was something that I'll cherish for a long time, for sure.
I'm talking to Baylor coach Scott Drew. Last night led his Bears to a victory over Arkansas. They are now in the Final Four. They're going to play Houston on Saturday in Indianapolis. I want to go back to when you're 32 years old and the Baylor job is presented to you, and I don't think I'm exaggerating. I can't imagine any power conference job has ever been presented to a candidate in worse shape. Were there people who tried to talk you out of doing that?
Well, definitely there were people that said, what are you doing? Are you crazy? You okay? And because my dad had built a great program at Valpo, and that was my home. I felt comfortable there. We had a great recruiting class coming in. But, one of my goals was always to go to a place where you're at the highest level competing for Final Fours, national championships. And I prayed about it, and I felt led to come. And once I really was sold on the vision of the administration at that time of what they wanted the university to become, and you look at it, 14 over 17 sports ranked in the top 25. We've had a lot of national championships, and I really believe in Mac Rhodes and Linda Livingstone, our president, and preparing champions for life, which is academic, it's character development, spiritual growth, and athletics. So it's the whole part of it. And again, when we got to Baylor and half our roster were walk-ons, at that point I realized, you know, it might take a little longer than I thought, but what a walk-on dream, right? Not only could you be on the team, but you had a chance to start, you know, so that's pretty good. But to see those guys' excitement over the years and all those people that believed in us early on that came and put in the work, and now they're able to say our team's in the Final Four, I love that.
I'm talking to Scott Drew, head coach of Baylor, beat Arkansas last night. They will now play in the Final Four on Saturday. You went through a phase in your career where you were recruiting McDonald's All-Americans and five-star prospects, and yet you look at this team right now, and that's not really what it is at all. You have enrolled very good prospects, but not one-and-done type guys to build this team, led by Jared Butler and Davion Mitchell and Macio Teague. How have you built this team into your best team and a undeniable, legitimate national title contender?
Well, you look at it, in the last 2 years, we've won more games than any other Power 5 school in the nation. 23-game win streak last year, which set the Big 12 record. We've been ranked number one three of the last five seasons. And the formula has been players with real high character and great work ethic. Obviously, they have talent, but they've really fit in and bought into what our culture is and what our program's about. And because of that, we've had the success that we've had. So again, it could be five stars, it could be one stars. It's really who fits your program and what you're trying to do. And I can tell you, through COVID, you spend so much more time. Like, this is what, our third week plus with each other, and like, that's when this tournament's over, those are going to be my best memories. The Uno tournaments, the Connect Four tournaments, the karaoke with the guys, just the fun we've had and the time we've had getting to know them. And you can be in a $1 million house, you can be in a shack. If you're with people you love, it's so much more enjoyable. And we spend so much time with our guys. We really want to recruit guys we want to be with.
It was a little more than a year ago, you had a team that was about to be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament, a team that was by extension good enough to win the whole thing. And then very abruptly, it's just over. Like, I can remember flying home from the CAA tournament and getting ready to go back to New York for the NCAA tournament, and it's just over. It's just everything is no more flights, no more games, no more television. Everything's over. You know, I've talked to Anthony Grant about this. He's at Dayton. He's got a team that was going to be the number one seed in the NCAA tournament as well. And you knew that he'll never get this opportunity again with Obi Toppin, with the National Player of the Year. You were in a little bit of a different boat. Obviously disappointed, but I think we all thought it was realistic that you could bring the bulk of your team back and maybe take a run at it again. When did you know you were going to be able to bring back the most important pieces and take another run at this thing?
Well, when Mark Vidal, Maceo Teague, Davion Mitchell, Jared Butler, and all of them said they wanted to come back because they wanted to finish what they started. And when you put those pieces back together with a drive and a desire to achieve something that they didn't have an opportunity to achieve the previous year, you knew you were going to have a chance. And I loved one of our GAs who played on the team last year, Oben, got on the ladder and cut down a piece of net last night and said, this is for Devontae and Freddie, because obviously they worked really hard and didn't have that opportunity last year. And that's why, again, I know everyone's making sacrifices with COVID, and we're just so appreciative that there is an NCAA tournament this year, because when something's taken away, then you really cherish it that much more, and just so grateful that these guys have had that opportunity. Because you grow up wanting to play college basketball, you want to play in March. You want to play for a Final Four, and these guys have had a chance to realize their dreams.
You win the game last night, you cut the nets last night, you handle your media responsibilities. I know you were up after 4, because we were texting after 4 a.m.
I was impressed you were up, man. I didn't get to get up earlier than me. I was like, this guy's a warrior.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I slept pretty late today. How much sleep did you get?
Good for you. Well, I finally 5:30 was able to get to sleep. I don't think I've stayed up like that since I was cramming for college exams. So, but it was truly a blessing. And again, as you said, it's so rare people have a chance to make a Final Four, and there's so many coaches and teams that are worthy of it. But that's why it's March Madness. It's a 40-minute game. The best teams don't always win. If we were the NBA and played 4 or 7, you would have the best teams win. But in this, so much has to fall your way to advance. So just so excited for the guys.
Wrap it up here with Baylor coach Scott Drew. So you're in the Final Four on Saturday. You will take on a fellow Texas school, Kelvin Sampson's Houston Cougars. People in Memphis are very familiar with them because of the AAC connection. What sort of challenges does Kelvin's team present?
Well, first of all, when Kelvin was at Oklahoma, we played him and had a lot of respect for him and his programs and how hard his guys play. We've scrimmaged him since he's been in Houston, because we know that gets our team better. Iron sharpens iron. And one thing is Coach Sampson is a tremendous coach. His players play unbelievably hard. But we also got family on the line, because, you know, Alvin Brooks is on our staff, and his dad is the assistant coach at the U of H. So anyway, our coach Brooks, little coach Brooks, said after Tuesday he's not talking to his dad anymore. And I saw Coach Brooks in the hotel lobby, congratulate us, gave us all a hug. And I made sure he knew that rule didn't exist with me. If I see him in the lobby or in the hallway, I am going to shake his hand and say hi after Tuesday. But what a neat experience, where you have father and son being able to bring all the family together and know that one of them is going to be playing for a national championship. And then Kelvin and obviously his son. So us coaches, families, we always cheer for each other as long as we're not playing each other. But two schools from the state of Texas, that's a great representation for our state, because we do have so many talented players and great coaches. So excited for that as well.
That is Scott Drew, the head coach at Baylor, coach the Bears to a win over Arkansas last night to bring the school to the Final Four for the first time since 1950. Listen, Scott, when I was young, people tried to tell me that in my profession you don't root. But as I got older, I realized that's just a lie. It's okay to root for good things to happen to good people. And last night, man, I couldn't have been more excited for you and happy for you and the family. Enjoy this, and I appreciate your time, and I will see you here in just a few days.
That sounds great. Get some sleep, and you travel safe to Indy, all right, Gary?
All right, brother. I'll see you soon. Take care and congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Scott Drew, head coach of the Baylor Bears. 81-72 victory over Arkansas last night, and now Baylor is in the Final Four for the first time since 1950. And you cannot overstate how incredible, improbable of a story that is. I didn't want to spend too much time getting into the details with Scott because he knows the details. But for people who might not understand the context because you didn't follow the sport closely or you're too young, when he took over that Baylor program at the age of 32, amidst scandal and tragedy, the specifics are just awful. A player literally murdered another player. A player murdered another player. And then the staff, the head coach at the time was Dave Bliss, he had committed several rules violations, connected to the murdered player. And this was all about to come out because of an NCAA investigation, because the player had more money than he should have had and so on and so forth. At which point Dave Bliss tried to talk his staff into framing the murdered player as a drug dealer, as a way to explain why the murdered player was able to live this lifestyle and have this money. It is the ugliest of ugly things. And there were people who tried to tell Scott Drew, you cannot take this job at the age of 32. You've got no players. NCAA is about to hammer it. You're in a league that is very difficult to win in. Baylor has been to a Final Four before, but I mean, it was 1948 and 1950. This is not the job. You're 32 years old. You'll be out by the time you're 36, 37, and then what are you going to do? And like he explained, he decided to do it. He felt like that's where he needed to be, felt like that's where he wanted to be, and now here he is in year 18, in his third trip to the Elite Eight, finally breaking through and bringing that school to a Final Four. Scott Drew is now a Final Four coach, and really appreciate him being here. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to the NBA. The Grizzlies won last night in Houston. Double-digit win, back to 500, 22-22. Big game for Jonas Valanciunas. We'll get into it next. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
National contest data message rate supply.
The Parlay Payday.
Powered by BetQL.
Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better better. Download the BetQL app today.
11K a day.
You still got plenty of time to text this hour's code word for your chance to win 1,000 bucks. This hour's word is penny, P-E-N-N-Y. Text that word penny to 72881 for your chance to win 1,000 bucks in our same day parlay contest. Again, text penny, P-E-N-N-Y, to 72881 now for your chance to win a grand with 92.9. I'll have another keyword coming up at 5 o'clock, but right now you got about 20 minutes to text penny, P-E-N-N-Y, to 72881 for your chance to win a grand. Good luck.
Found the roof leak.
Where?
See those shingles?
Oh, what do we do now?
I pity the fool. You need the A-Team.
What?
A-Team Roofing in Collierville, one of only two diamond contractors in the Mid-South. They're a licensed general contractor, but also a licensed insurance adjuster. When it comes to insurance approval, the decision really is in the details.
Well, yeah.
Get your roof done right. Call the A-Team, 901-605-ROOF.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
You okay?
I'm A-OK.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
The NBA season is rolling along. Games every single day. Final Four be here before you know it. Fun times in sports, undeniably. If you're like me, Gary Parrish, you might want to enjoy them while enjoying a drink. And if you want to enjoy what I'm enjoying, try New Amsterdam Vodka. It's a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It is 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. As I'm sure you know by now, so smooth, you can drink it straight. And it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store, and that's because it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. And if you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. Watermelon, lemon, coconut, the list is long. And don't forget, New Amsterdam also has a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, either by choice or necessity, doesn't matter, that is the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name next time you're in a bar, in a restaurant, or inside a liquor store. It's New Amsterdam Vodka. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com. That's newamsterdamspirits.com.
When do people most often think about selling their homes? In the spring? Sure they do, but home sales take place all year long. I'm Kelly Erb with Mark Spinsdorf Realtors, and we often say when the azaleas bloom in the spring, So do the real estate signs. What do you think, Sheldon?
Well, Kelly, you are correct. While spring and summer are great times to sell, we've sold homes on Christmas Eve, Thanksgiving weekend, Labor Day, and other holidays. I'm Sheldon Rosengarten, also with Mark Spensdorf Realtors. Kelly and I work as a team, and we often see people moving all year long, especially due to our corporate relocations, with whom we work due to our being members of a large relocation network.
So if you're thinking of selling, take advantage of the low inventory, low rates, and our highly successful strategic marketing plan with Shell Bucks option. Email or call us at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com.
And don't forget what people often say. When you want the job done, call Shell Dunn or Kelly Erb. Do it now, 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com.
Hey, Jeff Allen, you got some deals over there that'll blow me away at Gossett Kia South Mount Moriah.
You better believe it, Randy. I've got a 2021 Kia Forte, $135 a month lease.
That's less than $5 a day for a new car at Gossett Kia South Mount Moriah.
Plus a 2021 Kia Soul redesigned inside and out, $149 per month lease. And a 2021 Kia K5, $179 per month lease. 36 months, $3149 due at signing.
Plus, they all come with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty.
So whether you live in Horn Lake, South Haven, Olive Branch, or Memphis, you'll be happy, happy at Gossett Kia on Mount Moriah. 2680 Mount Moriah or KiaMountMoriah.com.
All 36-month leases, $31.49 due at signing, zero security deposit, 650 acquisition fee, 10,000 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, Forte, NE319-491, MSRP 20,625, sold, M77-5597, MSRP 20,660, K5, MG00-5560, MSRP 25,725, includes all manufacturer rebates and incentives, PF695 excludes tax title and license with approved credit warranty as a limited powertrain warranty, see Kia.com or retailer for details. Offer valid through 3/31/21, dealer stock only.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the space repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel. Language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Fast Wi-Fi. You use it to connect to just about everything, which means having fast Wi-Fi matters a lot. That's why Xfinity offers gig speed Wi-Fi, the fastest Wi-Fi you can get. And that's a big deal. It's a big deal for streaming big games, having big meetings, and making big plans. It's a big deal for families with one kid or two kids or three kids, especially if there's one kid who has enough devices for 10 kids. It's a big deal for gamers who are streaming while someone else is posting about their virtual spin class. And yet, it's also a big deal for a quiet Friday night in, because fast Wi-Fi makes everything better. Check out our new gig speed Wi-Fi or any of our other speed options. Get started with Xfinity Internet with up to 25 megabits per second download speed for $25 a month for 12 months. Call, click, or visit a store today. Gig Wi-Fi requires gig internet and compatible gateway. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Advertised offer requires paperless billing and auto pay. Ends 5/20/21. New performance starter internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply.
Here on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the card dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the card dealer. The last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God Tigger. Tell me as a Bob that the God don't need a job. And if I did, the oligarchs would be missing, murdered, and robbed.
Change, change, change. We got to change. Listen up. Radio.com is now Odyssey. Odyssey. So go download the Odyssey app. That way you can listen to 92.9 FM, ESPN, and all the music, news, sports, and podcasts that move you. Again, that's the Odyssey app in your app store. Jeff Calkins going to join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon.
So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Grizzlies won last night down in Houston. Final score 120-110. Jonas Valanciunas got 30 and 15. John Morant, 12 points, 8 assists. DeAnthony Melton got 23 points off the bench. Justice Winslow didn't play because of a sore right thigh, and Grayson Allen had to leave after a hip injury of some sort. The Grizz, you know, they trailed by 12 at one point in the game, but rallied and won, outscored Houston 30-19 in the fourth quarter. So they're now back to 500, 22-22 overall, alone in ninth in the Western Conference standings. They're one game behind the Spurs, half game ahead of the Warriors, and next up is another game with the Utah Jazz, and we almost lost the Utah Jazz earlier today.
Dude, what happened?
It sounds like their plane hit birds.
Oh, that's scary. That's like a movie.
And birds got into the left engine, and obviously it didn't survive, but that can cause real engine problems, and they had to turn it around. It was a Delta chartered flight, and they had to turn it around and go back to Salt Lake City. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, if you know, the flight that landed here in the Hudson, which
Sully?
Yeah, I believe it was the same thing.
Yeah, it was some birds. They flew in the engine.
Yeah, you know that, like, the CBS Broadcast Center is at 57th between 10th and 11th. We're right next to the Hudson. I mean, right next to it.
Uh-huh.
And where that plane landed, like, if you would have – in our studio, there are no windows, but, like, there's offices in the building as well. And if we would have been in our office space, just, like, looking out the window at that time, you would have watched this plane land in the Hudson River. Like, our broadcast center is right there. And so I've been in some it sounds like those are similar incidents. Like, thankfully, this plane carrying Mike Conley and the Utah Jazz didn't have to land in a river. That's great. They were able to get back to the airport. But that was the issue here in New York, is that there was no way to get back. At least Sully decided and was subsequently proven, accurate, that because of the nature of New York and just buildings on top of buildings on top of buildings, it was unlikely he was going to be able to get back to the airport. Like, if he tried to get back to the airport, a likely scenario was crashing into Manhattan or crashing into some sort of area populated by buildings and people. And that is why he was able, he decided, I can't risk that. You know, we might all die on this plane, but, like, I cannot crash this plane into a building. And so we'll just put it in the Hudson and hope for the best. And obviously that went brilliantly. This was a little different. This plane was able, carrying the Jazz, to get back to the actual airport and land safely. But the cause of the issue seemed to be the same thing: birds. Maybe it's time for us to get rid of birds.
I like birds. My kid likes birds. We have bird feeders in our backyard, bird houses. I don't want to get rid of the birds.
So you think if we're weighing the pros and cons of having birds, the pros far outweigh the obvious con of you might crash a plane.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it sounds like that the pilots these days have look, this is our second big instance of this. Like, it sounds like they've got this under control. If they just lose one engine with the birds, like, just, slam that thing safely.
Thank God we didn't lose the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, that would have been tough. I mean, Mike Conley, that's our guy. Like, that would have been tough.
It'd have made for a rough day.
I did see that the players were, quote, rattled.
I imagine you would be. Like, I've been in some scary airplane situations. Never where I thought, oh, my God, we're about to crash. But, like, oh, my God, this is getting uncomfortable. I've been there. But nothing like this. I've had to make an emergency landing before.
Really?
Oh, sure. Like, there was one time we were coming to New York long time. I mean, like, Aiden, our oldest son, was very, very young, and he was with us. And we were flying into LaGuardia. I was coming here, I think, for the Big East tournament, and I just brought the family with me. And we hit bad weather right above New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were just circling, waiting for a window to allow us to land. And we circled for, like, I don't want to overstate it, maybe an hour. Mm-hmm. I mean, just circled the city for an hour, but it was like, ba-boom, 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 ba-boom,
dude,
ba-boom,
that ba-boom, I don't like.
Ba-boom, ba-boom. I mean, nonstop. I am not exaggerating this. At least a quarter of the people on the plane were puking.
Yeah. Like, you know that I'm not scared of flying. Like, I like flying. I'm totally cool with flying. I know you obviously are, too. But, like, that feeling, you know, like Tower of Terror at Disney World?
Oh, yeah.
That feeling when the plane starts doing that and you feel like you feel it, like, in your stomach when the turbulence starts into you, I do not like that.
And so we had to – oh, it was rough. I mean, again, like, if there were 100 people on the plane, I'd say 25 of them were puking.
Oh, my God.
And it, the sound of them puking made you almost puke. It was awful. And I guess this wasn't technically an emergency landing.
Right.
We just had to land somewhere. We couldn't keep doing that. So we went to Pittsburgh and landed. And then they told us, okay, get off the plane, clean yourself up. You guys stink. And we'll clean up what we can clean up. And then, but stay close to the gate, because as soon as we see a window, we're going to go back to New York and try to land. And we got back on the plane, like within the hour. Flew back to New York, same thing.
Oh, my God.
Circle the city, ba-boom, ba-boom, just awful. Went back to Pittsburgh. We ended up staying the night in Pittsburgh. Like, it was just an awful experience. But, again, I felt sick. I was bothered more than I was scared. But that was still nothing like, oh, my God, our engine is out.
Right.
And now we've got to turn around and land. Keep your fingers crossed. That is what happened to the Utah Jazz today, apparently. So I've never been through anything like that. I hope to never go through anything like that. So hopefully they'll get a new plane with better engines, and they'll stay free of birds, and they'll get to Memphis in time for tomorrow night's game. And, boy, how about having to play the Jazz this often? Three times in a six-day span.
Yeah, I think I would be shocked if tomorrow's night's game – I'm not going to say the Grizzlies are going to win, but I bet that bad boy comes down to the wire. I don't think they're getting blown out by the Jazz tomorrow. It's going to be a battle.
Big Bet Bennett says get a little of that plus action on the money line.
Yeah, we'll see what it – I don't know what it is right now, but if it's even a little bit big, you better take the Grizz.
Okay, Big Bet Bennett. Yeah. We'll consider it noted.
Yep.
Story number two.
So most of the country was watching the men's NCAA tournament last night, but boy, the women's tournament had an awesome game between UConn and Baylor. There's UConn wins at 69-67. Paige Beckers, who is becoming like a legitimate sports star, like not just a, you know, great women's basketball player, but like a legitimate sports star that you don't have to follow women's basketball to know who she is. She's the 5'11", you know, freshman guard at UConn. She's about to be the National Player of the Year. She'll be the first woman ever to win National Player of the Year as a freshman. She's the Big East Player of the Year, Big East Freshman of the Year, Most Outstanding Player of the Big East Tournament, consensus first team All-American. She is just awesome. And she had 28 points last night. She shoots like almost 50% from three-point range. I mean, she's bad, boy. And so UConn's got the game in control. Well, they were down, then it seemed like they had the game in control. And then you get to a situation where it's 68-67. There's like 5 seconds left. Baylor's got the ball, down one. And DeJounte Carrington drives and pulls up for a little jumper. She gets hit in the face. She gets hit in the arm. Gets hit by two UConn players. Clear foul. No whistle. What? How do you not blow the whistle?
It was pretty bad.
She got murdered.
She got whacked, yes.
I mean, she got whacked in the face and in the arm. I don't know if you saw her quote from last night, but they were like, so what did you think of the controversial no call at the end? She's like, I don't think it was controversial. Like, one girl fouled me in the face, and another girl fouled me on the arm.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing to argue about. Like, it's not even debatable. Was it a foul? I mean, did you see even Gino Auriemma's daughter tweeted that was a foul? When the UConn coach's daughter tweets that was a foul,
yeah.
Like, it was obviously a foul. LeBron was tweeting about it. Swin Cash, my former coworker who now works in the Pelicans front office, former UConn star, she was on Twitter like, that was a foul. So that's just awful. Like, I'm glad UConn moves on, because this Paige Beckers story is really fun to follow, but you cannot just let somebody get hit like that.
No.
Again, this wasn't even like, well, you know, you don't want to, you know, call a ticky-tack foul in the final say. It wasn't a ticky-tack about it. She got hit by two different people in two different places. She got fouled twice by two different people on the same play and no call. So UConn moves on, 69-67 winner, and they're now in their 13th straight Final Four. Think about how ridiculous
that is. That's unbelievable.
13 straight Final Fours? Like, on the men's side, it's like if you go to 13 straight NCAA tournaments, just make the tournament 13 straight times. That's incredible. 13 straight Final Fours, and they got a chance now. They are the favorite to win their 12th national title.
Story number three.
And then, of course, the game was over, and you would think Kim Mulkey, the Baylor coach, would spend most of her postgame press conference complaining about the no call. And she did spend some of it, but then she unprovoked, unprompted, decided to offer her opinion on how the NCAA should handle COVID testing going forward. Here's what she said. She said, after the games today and tomorrow, there are four teams left, I think, on the men's side and the women's side. They need to dump the COVID testing. Wouldn't it be a shame to keep COVID testing and then you got kids that test positive or something and they don't get to play in the Final Four? So you just need to forget the COVID test and get the four teams playing in each Final Four and go and battle it out. End quote. My God. it would be a shame if Gonzaga popped three positives,
of course,
before tonight's game and had to be removed from the NCAA tournament. Like, Kim and I think everybody else can agree, that would be a shame. But the alternative to that is not to stop testing. You have to understand, and she's from Texas, so I can understand why it might be hard for her, but we are still very much in the middle of a pandemic. There is incredible news on the vaccination front. In some states, including Mississippi, if you want to get vaccinated right now, you can, as long as you're 16 and up. Very soon, everywhere in this country, if you want to be vaccinated, you will be able to get vaccinated. And if enough people are smart, and, you know, we'll see. But if enough people are smart, we will be able to whip this thing and get back to living our lives in something that resembles normalcy. But we're not there yet. And health officials are still advising us to not gather in groups and us to still practice social distancing and us to still wear masks. And the only way health officials are signing off on allowing, Division I basketball games to be played in